Are you going to stay down there just because you got knocked down? There comes a day, my friend, when you've got to get up again and say, I'm going to switch on my faith. I am not going to stay down. The devil cannot keep me under. Now I'm living
my best life. Welcome to another message by Pastor Phil Pringle, leader of C3 Church. We are praying that this message will bless you and help you live your best life. For more information about Pastor Phil and C3, please visit myc3church.net.
Hi friends, I am so excited about our new album, Only Love. You can download it on iTunes. It is fantastic. I've found this has such a buoyant effect on my soul. When I'm listening to this music, it lifts me, it helps me worship God. And I'm telling you, during the day when I'm not even listening to the music, those songs keep singing themselves on the inside of my heart. I know you're going to love this great album, Only Love, from C3 Church.
See, like, deliverance is a person. It's the resurrection. He didn't say, I've brought resurrection. He says, I am the resurrection. I am the door. He doesn't have a door. He is the door. He is the blessing. He is the vine. So when you receive Christ, you receive the entire program that God's got for planet Earth. It's nowhere else. In Him are hidden all the riches, all the wisdom. And we wander off Jesus so easily. Because it's offensive. It's offensive to our intelligence. Surely we've got to be a bit more complex than that, a little more deep than that. No, He's deep enough. You don't get any deeper than the Son of God. You don't get any more profound than the Son of God. I know you've had some pretty profound thoughts about Him and all that, but not He is the beginning and the ending. He is the first and the last. He is the Alpha and the Omega. You have got to get back to Jesus. And I'm not talking about God. I didn't say get back to God. A lot of people talk about God today. Insurance companies, that was an act of God. But we've got a lot of religions proclaiming that God has told them to do things. Strap bombs on children, blow them up. That's not God. That's a false God. So that's why I put the name Jesus. Because you will never find anybody doing that in the name of Jesus Christ. God has a name, and that name is Jesus. He has been on planet Earth. I do not want you to be in any confusion. I do not want to leave you with any doubt whatsoever who God in heaven is. When Jesus came to earth, He was the perfect expression of God in heaven. He never once put His hand on a person and said, be sick with cancer. He never said to a person, lose all your money. He never said to another person, I got this for you. I got this bad thing for you. He sometimes talked about this stuff, tried to teach people, but He never brought evil into this world. Never brought trouble. He said, follow me, you're going to have trouble, but be a good cheer, I've overcome the world. This is God come to earth. God is a good God. Better than your wildest dreams. He says, would you ever give your child a scorpion if they ask for an egg? How much more is your Father going to give the Holy Spirit to them who ask Him? So, come and drink. Come and drink. But the last one is the one I want to really talk about, which is believing. Believing is something you can switch on. Everybody in this room's got faith. And between now and the end of the service, for any miracles to take place, like Colin was saying, they need to be worked. It's the working of miracles. And that happens because faith arises in a person's heart and connects them with the power of God. So it's like being in a place of joy and expectancy and faith, you have got to get out of the complaining zone, the whining zone, the nasal twang. You know, I had three kids. They were all great. Then they got born. But they're beautiful. Love my children. But at about two, something weird happened to all of them. They developed that nasal twang. Don't want to get them in. Don't want to even broken lie. I don't want to lie. I don't want to go out of here. I don't want to dance. Why am I not inviting me? You know that feeling? And you're in the supermarket, and they're pulling on your dress. They got fluid coming out of every hole in their head. I don't want to go. I want to go. Just for the record, I don't have a dress, but... You know, like, you're smart, right? You're from the north. You know what to do. You have another. So now you got two of these things. And they're sitting in the back seat of your car, right? And they're like, don't look out my window. There's my window. Hey, they're pulling my hair. They're pulling my hair, poking me, poking each other. Carrying on. You're smart. You know what to do. You have another one. And now you got three of them whining in the back seat. Pulling each other, poking each other. Isaiah 64, verse 5 says, God meets with him who rejoices. You connect with God when you start rejoicing. God's got his car, 7 billion people in the back seat. I don't like you, I don't want to push my, don't want my, I'll bomb you, I do all these things. Can you imagine how maddening that must be? Driving around the universe with 7 billion whining people in your backseat. No wonder he comes to a church that's rejoicing. He says, I will meet with him who rejoices. If anybody down there is going to get happy, I'm going to go there. God likes to mix it up with people of faith. And so he comes into where there's a spirit of faith. Faith isn't a science, it's a spirit. It's an attitude on the inside of you. I can take this thing. We're going to get over this thing. We're going to get through this thing. That building will work out. Thank God for men like Colin Blois. Amen. Goes down there and says, yeah, we'll get the car park. What a miracle that is. The car park is the biggest miracle, man. 600 car parks. Every church building has problem with car parks. Not Colin Blois. Not Hope City. So the spirit of faith is something that Paul said he had. He said, we having the same spirit of faith. Faith is a spirit that gets into you and connects you with the Holy Spirit. So you find that when you create an atmosphere of faith, the power of God can travel in that atmosphere. Here it is, people. When you're in that swimming pool down the back of your yard, if you haven't got one, don't get one. It's England. Remember where you are. Indoor only, and so you got your little pool. I got a pool down my backyard, so I go down there, and I'm goofing off in my swimming pool. Now, if you throw a hairdryer in there and switch it on, I will feel something, because electricity is conducted by water. Water is a conductor for electricity. It travels through that, just what faith is. When you provide faith in an atmosphere, God has got an atmosphere to travel through. When you provide doubt, you stop the power of God traveling. He wants to, but he can't. Can't? You're saying God can't? Check it out in Mark 6. He went to his hometown. He wanted to, but he couldn't. He says he could do no mighty miracle there. We block the power of God in our whole society by the amount of doubt and cynicism and suspicion. That is why you have to work every day on creating faith in your heart. Because every day the devil is trying to create doubt in your heart. He is trying to steal you away from a realm where the power of God is moving. And then you're going to blame God for not doing things when he was wanting you to create an atmosphere in which his power would travel. And once you've got that atmosphere happening, you will find the power of God travels towards you. All you got to do is start saying, I believe God. I believe God. The last time you did it, maybe it didn't work and you got disappointed. And you're saying, well, I'm never going to do that again. Yeah, you talk about all your positive stuff up there, but man, I've tried that thing. you preach faith, your faith preaches, you know, my Lord. We tried for 5 years to have a baby. Nothing happened. We'll try six. Try seven. Try eight. You never know. Amen. It's a lot of fun in the meantime, you know, like, it's not like starting businesses or anything, you know, like, at least that's a fun practice. Amen. You know, like, but the thing is, you and I have to get up again. What do you do when you, what do? You get up again. That's what you do. What do? You get up again. You always get up again. What are you going to do, Chris? Wait, oh, God. You get up again. Are you going to stay down there just because you got knocked down? There comes a day, my friend, when you've got to get up again and say, I'm going to switch on my faith. I am not going to stay down. The devil cannot keep me under. I am going to go over by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to start believing again. I'm going to start believing and turn on my spirit of faith. You've got it. Use it tonight. You got faith on the inside of you. You can do it. But you've dictated, said, God, you do it for me. I'm a little weary of trying. But in this conference right here, I would like to think that you hear enough promises from God. And you feed on this word enough for it to start creating faith again on the inside of you. Let me say this. You know, there are times where it hurts to believe. It just hurts to be positive. There'll be some of you sitting here tonight still not over that threshold. You're going, yeah, whatever. You know, I'm just staying in my safe zone where I can't get hurt. Neither will I get angry with God. Neither will I get let down. I'll just stay numb. Because then I don't try anything and I can't fail. I hate it when I feel life come against me negatively, but that's living. Welcome to planet Earth, alien. It's living. I wasn't being unkind. An alien is somebody who is alienated from the life of God. And when you've been alienated, you become an alien to God. He's a distant, far off. The only thing that connects you together is faith. That's where he lives. He doesn't live in darkness. There is not one shadow inside of God. He is not in the darkness. There's no darkness in him, no doubt, no negativity, no unbelief. He doesn't live there. That's an atmosphere in which demons fester, in which bugs and horrible things are in there. When you lift up the boards on an old house and the light pours in, you see all these bugs scatter. The bugs don't like the light. But you see, once you start turning on the light in your head and say, you know what? God's alive. He's going to come through for me. My faith is a little low. I agree with you, Pastor. Amen. Just come with me. Come with me on this journey. My faith is a little low. I will get the Born Identity book. It'll start charging me up. Amen. I'll figure out who I am and what I have in Christ. I'm going to start reading that other book you wrote called Faith. I'm going to start having a belief on the inside of me through which God can start moving in my life. And if it doesn't happen the first day, I'm not going to get disappointed, because God is not your microwave God friend. You don't go, hey, God, could you do this? Ding, ding, didn't work, God. My Lord, that's no good. It might take a year. It might take 2 years. But let me say this to you. Sometimes God isn't answering your prayers because you're seeking his hand more than his face. You want what he can do for you more than you want him. That hunger and that ache and that thirst is for the Lord himself. He says, if my people will humble themselves and seek my face, not my hand, if you will search for me with all you have, you will find me. God is lonely. He sent his son to die to restore fellowship with people he could walk with. And they all come back to him with grocery lists. Oh, can you do this for me? Can you do that for me? You know, it's like, friend, we got to come up a little higher. Yes. Sometimes you get it, sometimes you don't. It doesn't matter. He is more important than the do's and the don'ts. He's more important than what you get and what you don't get. He's far above it all. Seek first the kingdom, and all this other stuff gets added to you. But let me tell you, he is not unwilling to deliver miracles into your world. Absolute, incredible, life-changing interventions in your world. While I'm standing here, I'm getting a word of knowledge about a woman with a bad problem in your neck, in your spine. And I'm going to pray for you shortly. The power of God is going to touch you. There's an old man, I shouldn't say that, there's an older person here with asthma as well. And God is going to heal you in about 5-10 minutes. We'll start praying for people. But I want to talk about the spirit of faith. Because it's not just about saying, I believe. It's about getting an attitude. And some of you have let that attitude die because you got disappointed. Moses went to God. We've heard about him with his staff. And God says, go deliver my people. He says, how am I going to do that? He says, well, I'll give you some tricks. He says, what? I'll throw that stick down. Boom, he becomes a snake. He says, wow. Anything else? He says, try that. Put your head in there. Oh, it's leprous. Stick it back in. Oh, it's healed. Okay, that's good enough. Okay, off I'll go. He says to the Israelites, we're all free. Yeah, tomorrow I'm going down the king. We're out of here. They said, why? Why would he listen to you? He said, because a bush was talking to me. A bush was talking to you. He's going to call you a madman. He says, oh, no, the bush told me how to do tricks. He says, what? What? Shoot. Boom. Snake. Wow. How about that? Huh? Not bad? They said, whoa, we're free. We're out of here. Go move. And so he goes down to the king. Say, king, we're out of here. See you. 400 years of slavery. We're done with it. He said, why would I let you go? I got free labor. 3 million people working for me. He says, well, check this out. The king's yawning. He says, we got guys that can do that. We got our own, you know, little tricks here. And they did it too. So he said, what's this stuff about you go worshiping 3 days in the wilderness? Everybody, these people are talking nonsense. Double the demand on them and halve the resources. Halve the supply and whip them. Make it worse. Then it says, they went back to their work like that, deeply grieved in spirit. Some translations say anguish of spirit. Some say wounded. Moses goes to God and he says, hey, you tricked me. We didn't get out. God says, oh, it's going to take a little more than just that. Didn't I tell you? No. God never tells you that. Go possess the land. He doesn't tell you there's 31 kings you got to conquer. He doesn't tell you how long. Otherwise, you wouldn't do it. He tricks you. So he goes back to God. God says, go back and tell the people. He says, they won't believe me. He says, go back and tell them. So he goes back and he starts preaching to them. And it says they could not hear because of wounded spirits. They could not hear because of grief of spirit. Disappointment cuts a wound in your spirit. And when you've got a wounded spirit, you lose motivation. You wake up tired in the morning. You get up and go. It's got up and gone. You can't get moving. You don't have any dream. The future looks blank. To protect that heart that's been wounded. And I know 4 different kinds of wounded spirits. There's the broken spirit where trust has been betrayed. And when that spirit is broken, you really lose motivation. It's like an animal that's had its spirit broken. It's just listless. Sickness comes easy. Depression comes easy. And then there's a poison spirit. You know when somebody sends you poison letters, and you read them and you get an attitude. Or they say something to you. Deadens their spirit. And then you get a cut spirit. where somebody's cut you with words. You know when you go home at night and you've had a conversation with somebody and you lie there and you say, if they say that, then I'll say that. And then I'll say that. Oh, that'll get them. Yeah, no, I'm really going to nail that. You know, in the book of Psalms, it says they sharpen their tongues like swords. So you're lying there with your tongue out and you've got the wheel going and sparks are flying. You're sharpening up for tomorrow's encounter. And you meet them and they meet you. You get cut and it bleeds black, angry thoughts into your head. You're angry now. And you're carrying around a residual anger. And you can't believe in that environment. There's only one way to fix up a cut in your leg. You got to close it. You gotta get closure. And the only way that happens is forgive them. You got to let it go. Forgive them. I know it seems unfair. I know you want to say the scripture, revenge is fine, says the Lord, but actually says revenge is mine. Amen. So you don't want to forgive them. Oh, I mean, I've got so many people in my world, I don't want to forgive. But I do. Otherwise, I'm going to fester and demons will get in. Bugs, infections. So you close it up, you heal, you forgive everybody, everything they've ever done to you on planet Earth. I stand here tonight, nobody owes me an apology. I've forgiven everybody everything. I don't want to stand on the earth with grudges and resentment. Every day, forgive people, otherwise you'll live in torment. Let it go. You'll never have faith while you got unforgiveness in your heart. Your heart is your believing machine. It cannot be preoccupied with two major emotions at any given time. That's why Jesus always, at the end of prayer, said, and when you stand, forgive. Forgiveness was the one key for successful prayers and great faith that he added afterwards, after his teaching about faith. And so you close up your wound in your spirit, forgive them, and then you hang out with antiseptic Christians. Do not hang out with the septic crowd. Do not hang out with toxic believers who just say, oh, that church, you know, what they did to you, yeah, you know, like, hang around the Word of God. It's like an antiseptic cream on the inside of you, healing you in Jesus' name. I know you're all waiting for the fourth condition. I'm going to give it to you tomorrow in Jesus' name. A wounded spirit finds it hard to believe God. And here tonight, there's healing for that. From the power of the Holy Spirit, if you will just say, okay, Lord, I'm letting it all go. Forgiveness is a great healer. I've seen people healed of asthma the moment they forgave. I've seen people healed of cancer as they learned how to let it go, the grudge. I mean, they were just so angry, they grew a tumor. That's what it seems like. And the feeling is, it begins by just reaching out to God and saying, I want my spirit whole and healed here tonight so I can believe God. I'm going to switch on my faith. And if you go to find that switch and it's a little broken here tonight, maybe that's happened. Maybe that's happened to you, that you've found yourself in a place where your spirit is really struggling to try and get in the light and start to believe. You've been disappointed. Your boyfriend broke off with you. You lost the job. Some people said some really nasty things about you. Whatever, we can all get through it. I've sat with some of the worst people who've been through the worst things I could ever imagine. One girl had been raped by her father and brothers for about 10 years. She was the only girl on a farm that her father managed. She had decided to be a lesbian and she came to Christ and realized she really wanted to get her world right. And I said, well, I want you to have a look at a picture of your father. And you need to say, I forgive you. You can't hold on to this. I know it seems unfair. You're the victim, yet you're forgiven. You're going to become bigger than the predator. You're going to become bigger than everything in your life that's ever tried to hold you down. You're going to rise far above it. Never let somebody who hates you drag you down to their level by hating them back. Always rise into being the noble, beautiful, magnificent Christian that's in the image of Jesus Christ.
C3 Church is a vibrant, contemporary community of people who want to know Jesus more and be equipped to live their best life. We have over 300 churches around the world waiting to welcome you. So find your nearest C3 at c3churchglobal.com.
Hi, everybody. Look, I just wanted to take a moment to say a big thank you. I mean, the biggest thank you I can possibly make to all of you who partner with us. You send in contributions and offerings to help us resource people, to bring out podcasts, and in so many different ways, we're able to bring the glorious, the amazing message of Jesus to so many people's lives, and they are transformed. People's lives are literally turned right side up every time Christ comes into their world. Because you're partnering with us, because you are faithful, and because of your generosity, we're able to keep preaching and keep this entire broadcast and communication of the gospel happening all around the world. So once again, thank you. God bless you. I'm praying and believing with you for an abundance to be poured into your world and to be blessed in your families, in your homes, in your businesses, at every level, in the mighty name of Jesus.
I do not want you to be in any confusion. I do not want to leave you with any doubt whatsoever who God in heaven is. When Jesus came to earth, he was the perfect expression of God in heaven.